Good morning and welcome to the KGNC Golden Spread Agribusiness News Hour. Mondays, we talk Texas wheat, and there's nobody better to sit down and have a discussion than Ms. Steely Fischbacher. Ms. Steely, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Always a pleasure. This is the prime season right here for wheat producers. Let's get a planting update, see how things are going out there.
Yeah, so we have updated figures from USDA this week. We're estimated at 58% planted compared to 54% for the five-year average. Our percent emerged is sitting at 28% versus 29% for the average. So if you'll remember back a few weeks, our planting progress was kind of running ahead of schedule, and what we've seen is a slowdown. We have had kind of some spotty rains over the last month and a half in some areas, and so in those places we went ahead and got our wheat in, and then it seems like as we've moved through the season here, those who aren't planting for grazing potential are kind of waiting to see what's going to happen. We do have some forecast rains here for some of our region over that weekend time and early this week, so we'll have to see how that plays out for everyone, but hopefully we'll continue to see chances of moisture, even though that's not what our seasonal forecast is showing. Continue to be kind of concerns across the winter wheat belt of dry conditions. In fact, just this week I saw that the entire U.S., over 80% wow. is rated abnormally dry or in some form of drought.
Wow.
So it's not just Texas. It's very widespread, and it's certainly a lingering concern for the 2023 crop. That actually surpasses the previous high that was set in 2012 for area in the United States, either abnormally dry or in drought. So very, very concerning as we go into winter here.
Yeah.
What also kind of tags on to those concerns is we continue to see limited supplies of U.S. wheat. We had updated WASDE report last week.
Mm-hmm.
Our production forecast for this year was lowered. Domestic use was lowered mainly on reduced feed use. You know, we have very expensive wheat. We're probably not going to be using it for feed.
Mm-hmm.
Our exports reduced 25 million bushels from the previous year. So we had a really low export year in the 2021-22 marketing year, and that's been further lowered for the 22-23 year, actually to 775 million bushels, which is the lowest level in 50 years.
Wow.
You have to go back to 1971 to see that level of export.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense when you look at our market conditions. We have lower supplies in the United States, so we have less extra to export out to other countries. But also, when you look at, you know, FOB prices, our price outlook for our customers, we're just very high priced in the global market today. Don't know that that will be the situation throughout the year. But as of today, that's what we're looking at, is just really high prices for U.S. Specifically, I'm talking about hard red winter wheat, but it really holds true for all of our classes. Some of our competitors, Russia specifically, has had a really good crop year. So they have a lot of supply, and they're looking at ways that they can increase their exports. So it's probably just as we move through this year, kind of an understanding. We have a really high-quality crop that was produced in the 2022 crop year, but we may not be seeing the level of exports that we're accustomed to. And USDA did kind of finalize some of those conclusions as they continue to reduce that figure for exports. All of those factors tie into what our ending stocks are. So USDA has currently pegged that at 576 million bushels, which is the lowest level in 15 years. So again, just tightening stocks here in the United States. When we look at the global outlook, I mentioned production revisions for the United States went down, also went down for Argentina. They're also suffering from drought right now, and then went up for the EU and Russia. So continue to see that balance in the global market. But global ending stocks without China are also going to be at their lowest level in 15 years. So we'll likely continue to see, you know, support for higher prices of grains as our supply is limited compared to recent history. And then USDA did set that seasonal average market price at $9.20. So that's what they see as the average cash price that farmers will be receiving through this wheat marketing year. That runs through the end of May, so we'll have to wait and see how that actually plays out. But that's where they've set that projection for this point in the year.
Wow. Wow, that's 50 years. 50 years since you've had that type of number. That's really kind of slaps you in the face. It's just amazing. And another obstacle to overcome. And the U.S. Wheat Associates, their website, they've got a ton of news here recently. The last couple of days, they've released some stuff. And one of the articles that's there is you talked about the market volatility and some other stuff about Australia, their crop is threatened. Two things, though, that really come to the front of mind for producers here in the state of Texas that they talk about: the Mississippi River, another drought issue, and also, once again, you're looking at the rail strike might be back on the table. What does U.S. Wheat say about these subjects?
Sure, yes. Obviously, major concern with the Mississippi River and being able to get those exports through the system. Obviously, that's a terminal that's more heavily used by corn and beans, and specifically during the harvest window, which is where we're at right now in the United States, you know, that is critical for those commodities to be able to move through there. We've seen some improvement over the last couple of weeks, or over the last week. There's been some improvement, but definitely big concerns, and they're not able to load the same amount of commodity on those barges as they typically would. They're trying to avoid getting stuck. So definitely a major concern and slowdown. You mentioned the rail issue. That one is kind of in the same lane of infrastructure and the challenges that we're seeing right now. So we had, you know, major concerns about a rail strike whenever we were in D.C. in September.
Right.
We were talking to all of our congressional offices about, you know, major concerns with the negotiations that were going on and the possible need for Congress to step in. Well, now it looks like we may be setting ourselves up for a repeat of that situation. So the agreement that came to there in September has to be ratified by all of the unions who are involved in the rail industry. And over the last week or so, one of those unions voted the agreement down. And so that is a big concern. And again, one of our top priorities is to improve our rail infrastructure and to improve the service that's available to our farmers, because that all plays into the price factor that I was talking about earlier. You know, Mexico receives a lot of U.S. wheat by rail. And so to be competitive on our rail rates and to have reliability in that system is so important, especially when we're looking at reduced exports. The amount that we're able to get moved to those foreign countries needs to go at a reasonable rate and to be very reliable. So we've already started, you know, having those conversations with Congress again, asking them, you know, if this were to come to a stalemate, you know, we need you to step in and try to provide some type of reasonable reassurance throughout the rail system that those shipments can keep going. At the same time, you mentioned a lot of information on U.S. Wheat Associates' website. One of those articles they put up was about some of the newer work that they're doing on extending the shelf life of wheat products, so specifically bread. And the way that we can do that, and the reason they focused on it, is because that would allow our overseas customers, who they work very closely with, to extend their customer base. So if you think about, most of this work has been done in Southeast Asia, where the shelf life is typically 7 days for a loaf of bread. If they can extend that shelf life out to 10 days or even 2 weeks, they can get that bread further away, so in some of those farther reaches of the country, to various towns and villages, and really expand the amount of wheat products that they're using and that they're able to provide to those consumers at a more reasonable rate. So working with them very closely, U.S. Wheat has a whole slew of educational courses that are planned for 2023 to work with these baking and milling companies in these foreign countries to teach them about how to use U.S. wheat specifically our hard red winter and spring, hard red spring wheat, which are higher quality, which actually lend to that additional shelf life. They are not as quick to go stale as some of our competitors' wheat. So pointing that out, showing them the results, can really help them to reach, extend their customer base, which means they're buying more of our wheat. So that's kind of a long-term goal and mm-hmm. work that they've been working on for several years, and will now be in the phase of rolling that out as educational courses, but something that, you know, could be really beneficial to us in the coming years.
Mm-hmm. You spoke of long-term goals, and I know behind the scenes, you just mentioned going up to D.C. in September on the rail things. You guys are still feverishly working and getting input on the upcoming farm bill. Are you still taking responses from producers and people across the ag landscape to kind of help form some opinions and get some ideas of what's needed?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have closed our survey, but that does not mean that our office or our staff here are closed off to getting more opinions and more lived experience from our farmers about how these programs work for them. We continue to have weekly, if not daily, conversations with our congressional friends, as well as work with the National Association of Wheat Growers to finalize and refine some of those farm bill asks. And we'll be, you know, receiving that feedback up until the day the farm bill passes. You know, I'm never going to turn away from a farmer who has a problem and needs to talk about it. Yeah. So, yeah, that's absolutely underway. And we are working on those plans. One of the major releases this week from Farm Bureau, they put out their list of farm bill priorities. You know, wheat is a little bit ahead of the game. We did that a few months ago. But Farm Bureau, some of their priorities line up very well with our wheat industry ask. Mm-hmm. One of those was for looking at the reference prices and making them more relevant in today's high-cost operating environment. And so very good to see that a lot of our industry, not just wheat, not just Farm Bureau, is asking for the same things. That can really help us when we go to the Hill and make those asks.
There's a lot of variables in a producer's world. We talked about, you know, transportation costs, the rail, things like that. We talked about the drought. There's going to be a strong need for resources to back those producers out there. And you've got some info on some resources that will become available for those producers.
Yeah. So really here, what I just want to bring to everyone's attention is that, you know, there's extension programs throughout the United States that work very closely on wheat. We have a really great one here in Texas and very knowledgeable specialists, especially here in the Panhandle and Southern Plains and Jordan Bell and Calvin Trossel. Mm-hmm. And they put out really great resources about, you know, how to manage your planting decisions when you're facing such dry conditions or such uncertainty. And like I said, those programs are based around the United States, and OSU, Oklahoma State University, actually put out a really great resource in the last month or so about, you know, the different considerations you should make when planting into dry soil.
Right.
And nobody's more of an expert at this than our farmers, especially here in Texas. You know, they've planted into dry soil many, many times. But if they're looking for additional information, I thought this article was really good.
Yeah.
It can be found at osuwheat.com. It takes into consideration and points out that producers should consider coleoptile length, talks about seed sizes, seeding rates, optimal planting dates, and then seeding depth. So if we have any farmers out there that, you know, want a refresher in some of those topics or have some questions, that might be a good place to start. And again, you can find that at osuwheat.com.
Yeah, not by choice. If they could get it wet, they'd take it that way. It's just the way it falls out that they have to deal with that dry a lot around this part of the world.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Texas Wheat, their website, texaswheat.org, everything from Texas Seed Testing Lab Services, the small grains annual summaries in there. The U.S. Wheat Associates is a really great website, too, and you can find these articles where they talk about market volatility, some of the latest news in the wheat industry going on, those issues of the rail strike being back on the table, transportation exports slowed by that the drought, once again in another way, with the Mississippi River. And like Ms. Steele said, they always have an ear open to listen to producers and people in the ag world, because that, without them, there's no them. And so it's very important, if you have something or need something or there's something in the wheat industry that you think needs being addressed, especially in the upcoming farm bill, do not hesitate to contact Texas Wheat. This is what they do. They help the farmer in every aspect, from planting all the way to shipping. And Ms. Steele, as we move forward, we get a little bit cooler temperatures. We're starting to got a great chance of some rain coming up in the next couple of weeks. Will that bode well? Is that going to be enough? Is it going to give us a break to maybe get a bumper crop coming from this winter wheat crop?
You know, I would love to just say yes and sign off with that as our final message here.
Drop the mic and walk.
Yeah, I don't know that that's how most of my farmers feel right now. Right. You know, drought is really hard to get out of. Yeah. So even if we do get some moisture, it's still going to be a tough go for this 23 crop. Yeah. But hopefully we'll take some of your optimism, we'll turn into some raindrops, and we can get a better start than what we're looking at right now.
That was the old song, High Hopes. I try to keep high hopes going all
yes,
the time.
Sir.
Great information from Ms. Steele Fischbacher and the great folks at Texas Wheat. You can find it all on their website at texasweed.org. Once again, Ms. Fischbacher, thank you so much for your time today. And keep on and keep up the hard work you do for Texas Wheat and Ag in the state of Texas.
Yes, sir.
Again, a huge shout out and thank you to Ms. Steele Fischbacher for coming out, talking a little bit with David about some things that are going on with Texas corn, some great information for you wheat producers out there. Don't forget to catch us in the afternoon for the KGNC Golden Spread, Agribusiness News Hour, the afternoon edition. We'll be having some great headlines, news stories, and everything else in between ready for you. So we'll see you then. I'm your host, Bryce Hudson, signing off. You have a great and blessed rest of your day.